Professor Stuart Semple.
Well, good morning, folks. Am I on? Yep. Why don't we start with prayer? Lord, we're just so thankful for this day today, Lord. We don't take for granted the fact that we can come together and learn more about you, Father, and of course, more about ourselves. We just thank you for the blessings that are in our lives. We thank you for the blessings that have come. We thank you for all the blessings that we don't even see, Father. And we just commit this time to you, Lord. We declare now that our minds and our hearts are open, Father God, and we just say, have your way with us, Father God. Let your will be done in this place right now. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Have a seat, please. Well, as Pastor Reese said, we're continuing the series from the book of Acts. I mentioned in the previous session this morning how much I love the book of Acts. It's an amazing book. When you read about the birth of the church, you read about the expansion of the church, you read how the church becomes persecuted, faces resistance, etc., the miracles, the people's lives that are changed. It's a phenomenal book. And at the heart of it, part of the reason that I love the book of Acts is because I want what's in that. I want what's in the book of Acts. I want us to experience what the early church experienced. And of course, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the healings, the radical transformation that occurs in people's lives is still happening today. But I certainly want more of what we see in the book of Acts. I hope that the message today will be one that inspires you, that motivates you, but perhaps more so than inspires and motivates, I want this to challenge you. I hope that the message will challenge you. And as I said, I hope the Holy Spirit is going to be there nudging you along, saying, listen, you've got to open up, you've got to be receptive to what is coming across this morning. But I want to start off by asking you two questions. And the first is, what do you want from life? What do you want from life? You may be happy with your position at the moment. You may be pretty comfortable. You may be satisfied that where you're at is a good position to be in. And the second part of this question is, well, what are you doing about it? What do you want from life, and what are you doing about it? Are you dreaming big dreams? Do you have big vision? Do you want to live a life that is filled, like we see in the book of Acts, full of purpose, power, and passion? I don't know about you, but that's something that I want. I want, and I believe that this is biblical, and I'm hoping to show you this today, that God wants you to live a life that is full of power, purpose, and passion. You know, when we look at the early church, it was characterized by a powerful move of the Spirit and by believers and followers who were passionate. They demonstrated an unrivaled sense of purpose in expanding the kingdom. The same power, purpose, and passion that we see in that early church is what God wants and, dare I say, expects of his followers today. The question is, do you actually believe that? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God wants your life to be one through which his Holy Spirit demonstrates power, passion, and purpose? I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that is meaningful, that makes a difference, that is deep, that enriches other people around me, that leaves a legacy. Pastor Matt spoke last week about how God wants you to live a life that is open and expansive. Open and expansive, not boxed in, not restricted. He wants you to live an open and expansive life, an unusual life, a life that is full of unexpected things that can make a difference in people around you. I believe 100% with every bit that's in me that the potential for every single person who follows Jesus, that you can live a life that is full of purpose, power, and passion, without a doubt. But to fully achieve this, to fully live a life that is defined by power, passion, and purpose, there's a principle that you need to embrace that in part will go a fair way to you living the life that God's called and purposed you for. And that's the title of the message today. It's scatter. God wants you to scatter. And we're going to pick this up in Acts chapter 8, verse 3. The context here is that the church has been birthed and it's going through this expansive phase. But of course, part of the expansion is, as I mentioned, resistance and persecution to that growth and an increased profile. And a body that is becoming now more influential, it essentially attracts resistance. And so we pick this up in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, where we see Saul, who starts to destroy the church. He goes from house to house. He drags off men and women, puts them in prison. Listen to the next bit. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Those that were scattered preached the word. It didn't matter where they ended up going, they preached the word. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. You see what happened here is that despite what started out as a horrible situation, I mean, this was pretty full-on persecution. We're not talking about the resistance and the persecution that many of us face today in the church with regards to our faith. When you're at work, you may get the odd person who mocks your faith or ridicules you or has a go, but this persecution was pretty full-on. These guys were ripped out of their homes. Their families were torn apart. They were thrown into jail. They were probably beaten up. I mean, it was pretty full on. So what starts out as a horrible situation, a terrible situation, an unimaginable predicament, God eventually uses to bless his people and advance his kingdom. And you may be here today or watching online thinking there's situations that I'm facing, challenges that seem insurmountable. I've got problems that I just don't see. I cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. But what God's saying to you today is that despite the circumstances, despite the predicament that you find yourself in at the moment, he can use that to bless you and advance his kingdom. And that's a principle that applies to all of us who put our trust and faith in him. You may say, well, the situation is a little different today. I'm not forced to scatter and, you know, the persecution is not as significant as it was in the early church. But I'm not so much focused on that. What's important to me is what I'm saying is the principle that underpins that story is one that demonstrates how God works and how he wants to work in your life today.
Yeah, that's good.
It's the principle that's important. And the principle is this, is that God wants to use you.
Yes.
It's a simple one, but a profound one. God wants to use you without exception. It applies to every single person who believes in this. God wants to use you. Why? Because he uses people to reach people. God uses people to reach people. He wants you to scatter. He wants you to take with you the word, the good news of the gospel, and the freedom and the promises that we find therein. He wants you to infiltrate darkness, and he wants your life to be a witness. He wants you to bring Christian values and principles and the message to every single area of your life without exception. Many of you will remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Danny Guglielmucci was preaching, and he spoke about the principle of scattering and gathering. And he talked about how important it is, particularly in this stage we find ourselves in at the moment, when we transitioning back to church, how important that is. It's biblical that we do need to gather together. It's important for us. But you can argue that it's equally important for us to scatter. I would argue it's equally important for us to scatter. Church is not supposed to be about us coming on a Sunday morning for a couple of hours. And, you know, I mentioned in the earlier service, it's not supposed to be about Christian cuddles and holy huddles. That's not what church is about. In fact, when you think about coming to church for 2 hours on a Sunday, that's essentially 1.2% of the available hours that you have in a week. 2 hours on a Sunday equates to about 1.2% of your time. You are called to more than comfortable Christianity. How do we know this? Well, have a look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9. I love this. For those of you that were online for the prayer session on Wednesday evening, I mentioned this scripture as well. But when you look at this, we could spend hours just digesting this and unpacking it. And it's amazing. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation that is set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of the darkness to experience his marvelous light. Now he claims you as his very own. And he did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. That is so powerful. One, you are God's chosen treasure. Two, you are royalty in his eyes. Three, he sees you as his very own. And he's given you access to his Holy Spirit and, of course, by inference, God himself, because he wants you to be able to proclaim and broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. This is something that is relevant to every single Christian. You may be sitting here today going, but this is not for me. This, the broadcasting of God's message and getting the gospel into parts of the world, it's for other people. It's for those that are the professionals, those that are in full-time ministry, those that have a special calling on their life. No. This is a calling and a commission that is on every single person's life. It does. No one's immune to it if you're a Christian. You don't have to have ticked certain boxes before God says you now qualify to spread the gospel. You don't have to do a certificate for in Christian leadership and ministry, which I would suggest you do. I'm doing it at the moment. It's fantastic. The C3 online, there's a few people here that need to do that. See, you don't need to have done the certificate. You don't need to have led a small group. You don't need to have served on coffee and parking and all of that and tick X number of boxes before God says, now you are equipped, now you're qualified, you can go out and spread the gospel. This is something that is a blanket commission to every single person to go out, step out of your comfort zone and spread the word. That doesn't mean for people that you need to drop absolutely everything and move into full-time ministry. No. It doesn't mean you need to become a pastor. For some of you, perhaps, yes. But the principle here is that God has called you, regardless of where you are at the moment, to take the good news, the kingdom principles, to take the heart of the Father into every part of your life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want you to confine it to situations where you just feel comfortable. I can sense some people are feeling uncomfortable at the moment. He doesn't want you to confine it to areas where you feel comfortable. You see, the scattering involves expansion, stretching, growth, and you all know that that's not necessarily a pleasant place to be in. We don't necessarily like that because it involves change and it can be uncomfortable. But here's the principle. When you step outside of your comfort zone, you step into His.
Okay?
When you step out of your comfort zone, you actually step into God's. I'm not saying that God loves you more when you step outside of your comfort zone. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is God wants to see you grow and develop and stretch and expand and move into more that He's got planned for your life. And you can only do that if you stretch outside of your comfort zone. It's scriptural. If you look at Hebrews 13 verse 16, it says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God." For you, what that means is if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've received joy, happiness, strength, hope, a future, because of what you have access to and what you've experienced as a Christian, you're obliged to share that with others. And that's difficult to do. It's a sacrifice, but it pleases God. I think that today we have too many people wanting to experience a life that is full of passion, power, and purpose, but they're waiting for God to give them the go-ahead. They're waiting for God to say, off you go, there's the green light, move ahead. When He's already said to you, go. And unfortunately for many people, what that means is that life rushes them by. And before you know it, they're looking back going, but I wanted to live that life that is full of power, passion, and purpose. But you've missed a lot because you're waiting on the Lord. Now remember, waiting on the Lord is an important biblical principle. I'm not dismissing that whatsoever. But what I'm saying is there's sometimes people that are using that as an excuse not to just step out and go. And we become complacent. In Matthew 28, we see Jesus talking to His disciples. And this was the last time that Jesus was talking to His disciples before He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And most of you will know that Matthew 28 is where we talk about the Great Commission, where Jesus says, all, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, but all power in heaven and earth is given to me, and so therefore go and make disciples of the nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is a commission that is on every single person's life. When you listen to what He said, whether you read Matthew or Mark, what Jesus said was go.
Come on.
He said go. Yeah. There's some people here today and online that need to hear that, that one word, go. Stop waiting for the green light. Stop waiting for the Holy Spirit direction and intervention in your life and just go and step out. Whether it's a ministry that you want to birth and you have a passion for and a vision for, whether it's something in your life and your career and your relationships where you're just holding back, waiting for the right moment, God is saying you need to just go. God has called you to be a kingdom builder. He's called you to be a kingdom builder, me to be a kingdom builder. He wants us to be co-laborers with Him. And the thing is, He's looking for people that are taking that seriously. He's looking for people that are taking that seriously. You know, the very first time that I ever delivered a lecture, most of you will know that I work in universities. I've been working in universities for 20-odd years. And the very, very first time that I was given the opportunity to lecture, it was something that was pretty unplanned. And it so happened that the person who was teaching our anatomy and physiology subject, for whatever reason, just decided she's no longer going to do that. This was just before the term commenced, and it was a few days before the lecture was supposed to be delivered, and we were in a staff meeting. At the time, I was a research assistant on contract, and we were in the staff meeting saying, what are we going to do? Who's going to teach this stuff? And there was a couple of little debates going on backwards and forwards, and I just put my hand up and said, I'll do it. That's all I said. I said, I'll do it. Now, you got to picture this. I've just finished an undergraduate degree. I'd only just enrolled in a master's program. Strictly speaking, I wasn't allowed to teach because I didn't have a qualification higher than the one that I was teaching. I was a research assistant. I was like at the bottom of the pile. And you're there with all these people who think they know everything, and I'm not going to mention the university, but it was not. And of course, there was this awkward silence in the meeting when I said, I'll do it. And they looked at me and said, what? One, you're a research assistant. Two, you're pretty much the same age as the people you want to teach. Three, you don't have the requisite qualifications. You don't have the experience. This is going to be a horrible student experience. You're going to damage the reputation of the department. There was all these reasons why I shouldn't be doing it. All the reasons why I shouldn't be doing it. But for whatever reason, the head of the department just said to me, okay, go for it. You can try it. So I was like, I started to doubt myself, going, I don't know if I should have put my hand up, but for whatever reason, I'm going to do it. This is an opportunity. I'll do it. And so the lecture was in a few days' time. It was an hour lecture for that subject. We had 1 hour lecture and a 2 hour lecture. And for this hour lecture, I then prepared for that couple of days. I immersed myself in the stuff. I read it backwards, upside down, back to front, etc. I was ready to do the lecture. I walked into that lecture room. It was 320-odd students in a tiered lecture theater. I walked down, and I could already hear some of the whispers and the, who's this person? He looks like he's 5 years old coming in to teach us. I had my overhead transparencies with me because we had not this fancy stuff in the old day. And I started the lecture. It was supposed to be an hour. I flew through those overhead transparencies. I rushed through it so quickly. I was out of there in 18 minutes. It was supposed to be an hour. True story. I was out of there in 18 minutes. Straight through it. And I got my overhead transparencies, and off I went up through, and I could hear people whispering and going, what the heck was that? The eyes were like, I didn't even know what, it had just gone. There were a few students who arrived late for this lecture, and it was beautiful because, you know, if you arrived 5 minutes late, it meant, given I'd only been 18 minutes, like your lecture was 13 minutes. They'd driven all the way in for a 13-minute lecture. So that served them right for being late. But the point is, I thought it was an absolute flop. I prepared as best as I could. I took the opportunity. I stepped out. But you know what happened? They ended up giving that subject to me for the rest of the term. And after that term, 6 months later, I was given a permanent junior lecturer role in that department. And I never would have got that role if I didn't have lecturing experience. So the point I'm making is when the odds are stacked against you, when you don't have the requisite experience, qualifications, etc., and all the naysayers around you are saying, listen, there's no way you can do that. You're not equipped. You're not qualified. Step back. Don't go. Jesus is saying the opposite to us today. He wants you to just step out, and he wants you to go. It's often as simple as that. I think we over-spiritualize things and complicate it. He wants you to just step out, and he wants you to go. Isn't it amazing how time and time again, when we look at the Bible, now you can't miss this. Time and time again in the Bible, we see how God uses people that are pushed outside of their comfort zone to achieve great things. When you read a certain part of a book, sometimes you miss the big picture. But the theme running through, right all the way through the Bible, is God uses average, ordinary people like you and me. If you're willing to step out and just go, he will do amazing things in your life. Great things are never achieved when you stay within your comfort zone and when you embrace complacency. That's a fact. If you're wanting more in your life, if you're wanting to live a life that's full of power, passion, and purpose, you have to step out. Reject the complacency and just go. We see this all the way through with Moses, David, Nehemiah, Simon Peter. He was an ordinary fisherman. He was called to establish the church. Paul, Esther, even Jesus was pushed outside of his comfort zone in order to achieve great things. And there's a fantastic story in Acts chapter 8, verses 25. We don't have it up on the screen, but I'd encourage you to read it this evening. And it's essentially a story of how we can see in the early church some really important principles of people that are willing to just step out and go and be obedient, and what happens as a result. And in this particular story, it's about Philip and the Ethiopian. And I won't read it because it's rather lengthy, but I'll paraphrase. Essentially, as I mentioned earlier, what happened is we've had the birth of the church of Jesus Christ, and it's starting to expand. Of course, it then comes under persecution, but we in chapter 8, verses 25, see how Philip practically implements what God wants you and I to do in our lives today. Philip gets a message from the Holy Spirit to go south from Jerusalem on a desert road towards Gaza. And so he gets this, the Holy Spirit is prompting him to go to this particular location. And the Bible says, it doesn't matter which translation you read, it says, Philip went immediately. He didn't hang around and say, listen, I've paid for the Holiday Inn for two nights. Wait until my accommodation's paid, and then I'll think about it, or I'll go and meditate on it. No, the Holy Spirit said to him, go, and he went immediately. That's the first principle. Yeah? On that road, he encounters an Ethiopian who's a high-profile individual, who's the minister of finance. Yeah? And this minister of finance is going along in this chariot, and the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go and walk alongside that chariot. And so he does. He goes and walks alongside that chariot, and he overhears the minister of finance talking about the old scrolls of Isaiah, the prophet. And he says to the minister, he says, do you understand what you're reading? You need some help. And the minister goes, well, I don't fully understand it. Perhaps you can explain it to me. And so he invites Philip into the chariot. He invites him into the chariot. And of course, Philip talks to him about Jesus and the Messiah, and he spreads the word, the gospel. And what happens is that minister of finance gets so excited that, you know, a few miles down the road, they see a pool of water, and he goes, I want to be baptized, and he's all on fire, and Philip takes him out, and he baptizes this minister of finance, and it says that as he comes up, Philip suddenly just gets snatched up by the Spirit, and he gets taken to a different city called Ashdod, and he essentially reappears in that city and continues to preach the gospel. Okay? So this is a small snapshot of what's happening all over when you read the book of Acts. And which I believe can happen today. When you talk about power, passion, and purpose, we see it in the story. There's some important principles. One, Philip was obedient. He obeyed straight away. Number two, he was ready and flexible to go. Number three, he was happy to step out. Well, perhaps not happy, but he stepped outside of his comfort zone. He was obedient, he was ready to go, and he stepped outside of his comfort zone. And what was the result of that? The result of it was that he had access to a high-profile individual. It gave him opportunity. Not only did it give him opportunity, but of course the Ethiopian minister of finance was baptized. There's a miracle in itself, salvation. But then there's another miracle. Philip gets snatched up and gets taken to another city. Now I want to see more of that happening today. I want us to see more of that, miracles and signs and wonders and the power, the purpose and the passion. And it's there for us. There's one part of that story that resonates with me, and it's the story about being flexible. And I say it resonates with me because I struggle with that element around being flexible and ready to go straight away when the Holy Spirit prompts you. And the reason is because I struggle with it is because I'm a person who likes to compartmentalize things and sort of have it semi-planned and know what's happening and when it's happening. And some of you will be like that as well. I like to know when I look in my diary for the week, I've got that session there, that, then there's a gap and blah, 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 and I've got a bit of flexibility, and yes, it removes a little bit, but I like to know more or less what's happening when. Even on the weekends, when it comes to the weekends, I want to know what the plan is for the weekend. It drives my family insane. You can ask, Mundy's not there, she's on kids, but if you asked her, she's the sort of person who would be happy to wake up on a Saturday morning and go, why don't we drive down to the beach or somewhere for, you know, the day and let the kids enjoy it, and then we can drive back. And I'm like, uh-uh. You can't spring that on me right now. It's not that I'm averse to going down to the beach or having fun or anything like that, but there's something not right in my head because I feel comfortable when I know what the plan is and what, you know, what's coming. And she's the opposite. Let's just go. And I'm, no, you've got to tell me a week. I need to know a week in advance about what's happening on that day. And that's a pretty rigid way of thinking about things. And I think God doesn't work like that in our lives. Yeah. It doesn't work like that in our lives. Even on a Saturday morning, if there's no plan, great. But then I need to know that there's no plan. So it keeps me happy if I know that the plan is that there is no plan for Saturday. Because in my mind, there's a plan. I know that sounds silly. And honestly, ask my family. It drives them nuts. But I've recognized now, after over 20 years of being a Christian, this is not how God works in our lives. If the Holy Spirit tells you to go from A to B, are you going to do it immediately? Are you flexible and are you ready to go? It's when we embrace that attitude that God is going to use you in ways that you never expected. This is where we start to see the power, the passion, and the purpose. Are you ready and flexible to go? Folks, if I still haven't convinced you that you are called to live a powerful, passionate, purposeful life, or the Holy Spirit isn't stirring something up inside of you, then perhaps the following will. You see, the reason I'm talking about power, passion, and purpose is one, because this is the heart of the Father. Not just so that we can be people who are full of power. I'm not talking about, for example, you being a great person. I'm talking about you living a great life.
Yes.
Okay? This is what God wants from you. He wants you to live a great life that is full of purpose, passion, and power. It's the heart of the Father. This is why we want this. I know that this message today, for some of you, when I talk about purpose, passion, and power, for some of you, it's gone in one ear and out the other ear. And you've gone, yeah, but I've heard many messages before in my Christian life about the purpose and the passion and the power of Jesus. But the reason we need a hunger for this, and the reason that God wants us to live a life that is full of power, passion, and purpose, is because if it's fueled by the Holy Spirit, it's used to advance His kingdom. Yes, it blesses you, for sure, we know that. But it actually advances His kingdom. It's the heart of the Father. And it says it in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, that God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. He wants everyone to be saved. His heart breaks when He sees the lost. God uses people like you and me to reach people. There are too many people today that are living in darkness, that are trapped, that are isolated, that are captive, that are desperate, that lack hope, that are oblivious to the freedom and the peace and the prosperity that we can have through following Jesus. You and I have got a responsibility to change that, without exception. If today was the last day that you were on this earth, or you were on your deathbed right now, and you look back at your life, what would you see? I mean, it's not the most, it's pretty somber to think about that. But if you were on your deathbed right now and you look back at life, what do you see? If you're brutally honest with yourself, do you see a life that's full of purpose, passion, and power? Do you see an existence that is sort of mediocre, that's comfortable, you're happy with where you're at? You may say, but man, I've got too many regrets when I look back in life. We've all done that. We've all messed up. We've stuffed up. We've done things we shouldn't have and what have you. Perhaps some more than others, but the point is, God, it's a new day today. God wants you to move forward today, understanding that despite what's happened in the past, He wants you to live a life full of purpose, passion, and power. You may think that you've missed the boat and you've missed God's plan for your life. Well, that's a load of rubbish. You may think, I've stuffed up so much that the plan that God had for my life is something now that I've missed. That is not biblical. That is not the truth. We know this when we read in Jeremiah that God talks about the plans, plural, that He has for you. We serve, if you think you've missed the plan for God in your life, you're wrong. He wants you to embrace the fact that power, passion, and purpose in your life is something that you can live from this day forward. Yeah. You have to make that decision. You see, folks, we serve the source of all creativity. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way. We serve the source of all creativity. So if you think you can box God into one plan per person per life, and in your 20s you thought, I've messed it up, and God says to you, you're on the sidelines now and watch the rest of life go past you, this is not what He's saying. Today you can make the decision to live a life that is full of purpose, passion, and power if you embrace the fact that Jesus wants you to step outside of your comfort zone, and He wants you to just go. He wants you to just go. It is never too late. It doesn't matter how old you are, your education, what country you're from, if you've got a funny accent like me, it doesn't matter. God wants to use you in mighty ways. He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. Are you prepared to scatter? Are you prepared to get outside of your comfort zone? Well, Father, we thank You for this day today, Lord. We don't take for granted, Lord, the fact that we can come together as a church, and whether it's online or face-to-face, we just thank You. We thank You, Father, that You've given us Your Holy Spirit. But Lord, I just pray that it'll resonate in people's hearts today, that they can live a life that is bigger than what they thought they were going to live, Father. That it's more impactful, more meaningful than what they thought they could be living or currently living, Lord. We just pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will stir things up inside of people's hearts to understand that a life that is full of purpose, passion, and power can be theirs and that they can make a difference, Lord. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.